In the late 1970s and early 80s, breakdancing was incorporated into hip-hop, and one of the most notable examples of that was in the 1984 movie Breakin'. Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers played Turbo in it, and his performance helped bring breakdancing into the popular culture. His show business career has spanned four decades now, during which he's worked with the likes of Lionel Richie, Chaka Khan, and he spent 8 years as Michael Jackson's personal dance coach. On August 27th, he will be supporting up-and-coming breakdancers, performing at the McDonald's B-Boy Royale 3 tournament at NYU's Skirball Center in an event to raise money for Ronald McDonald House charities. He'll also be receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award at the competition, and I'm very pleased that all of that has brought Michael Chambers to our show today. Hello.
Hello, you, and it's been an honor to be here at WNYC. Thank you so much for having me in B-Boy Royale.
Now, as I understand it, hip-hop, and I think breakdancing as well, really began in the Bronx. When did you become aware of it growing up in Los Angeles?
Well, that's partially correct. There were some very innovative engineers. Afrika Bambaataa, the Soul Sonic Force, Kool Herc, the late Frankie Crocker, the radio personality, and the Roxy, the Funhouse. A lot of the energy that was happening right after disco helped hip-hop culture, the DJing, the scratching, the graffiti, the dancing, evolve, but it was still underground. It was only until they had films like Flashdance, which highlighted Washington Square Park, Malcolm McLaren's Buffalo Gals, when they had this whole revolution in the early 80s, and can't forget MTV. All those key people played an integral part in the worldwide consciousness of hip-hop. By the time the New York consciousness of hip-hop hit Los Angeles, Los Angeles had already had Soul Train. We had Soul Train, which really was kind of like the funk aspect of hip-hop. I mean, if you listen to some of the earlier musical productions, let's just say Jimmy Castor's It's Just Begun, or Aretha Franklin's Rocksteady, or James Brown. Most of those foundations are intertwined in samples in hip-hop music. So L.A. kind of influenced, I mean, New York influenced L.A., and it was almost a fusion.
What about your parents? Did they support your interest in dance?
My dad, after he had an honorable discharge from the military, his whole thing was, okay, you know what? I want somebody, the male from the family, to continue the legacy and fight for the country. My mother was getting into a very spiritual consciousness because in the 70s and the 60s, she was looking at, okay, well, you know what? The militantness of African Americans in the inner city, I don't want him to be around guns and violence, but I want him to make a statement. And sure enough, my mother's influence outweighed my dad's influence by this. She had me associate with a group of people who listened to rock and roll, Led Zeppelin, Van Halen. She had me going to Polynesian luau's, eating Korean food from people who were associated with her congregation. And therefore, now my mind was more open instead of just being pigeonholed to just one thing. So, yeah, that opened my mind and helped them to go, you know what, if he likes dance and if he likes music and it's keeping him out of trouble, then go be it.
And your siblings also got involved. Didn't your sister give you that odd nickname you have?
That's, you know what?
Boogaloo Shrimp.
Big kudos to you and your station. Because that's a very hidden gem. And there's a backstory. If you really look up the word boogaloo, Ringo Starr from the Beatles, in London, Mike, times in Wembley, he had a song called Back Off Boogaloo. Mm-hmm. There was a song called James Brown, Do the Funky Boogaloo. So boogaloo was a 60s kind of thing. You had the Beatniks, the Flower Kids. Okay, so the soul people, they attached the word boogaloo, and I got the boogaloo name because I'm mixed with French Creole from Louisiana. So my dad called me boogaloo, and the shrimp came from the seafood industry. So yeah, they figured, you know what? He's the boogaloo shrimp.
How did you learn to moonwalk?
What's really interesting, I think everybody that really paid attention to John Glenn landing on the moon, it became great news in the 60s. So there was a group of people that were dancing on Americans, Bandstands, and on Soul Train. And it was a subject of conversation. Oh, you know, now they're moonwalking. A few people just started using that name casually. One day I see my brother, just before school, executing a very gravity-defying movement. And therefore, it was almost like walking in place. But he didn't get it from just John Glenn's moonwalk. He actually seen some footage on America's, I think it was Arts and Entertainment Television. They were showing Marcel, the French mime. He was walking in place and moonwalking, but he didn't call it moonwalking. So I picked it up from all those elements.
And that most people associated with Michael Jackson. Did you actually teach Michael Jackson how to moonwalk?
What's really interesting is, to clarify this for the record, I taught him my version of a moonwalk combination. Mm-hmm. Now, before Michael Jackson learned the moonwalk, if you look at his song with the Jackson 5, Dancing Machine, he was already an avid robot dancer. So he was really keyed in to the next trend that was coming in. The artist Jeffrey Daniels from Shalimar, which was a group on Solar Records, and they used to be on Soul Train, they used to have Jeffrey Daniels come and do solo dancing, and everybody watched Soul Train. It was just a thing. Michael Jackson watched Jeffrey Daniels doing that step, and just before Motown 25, he just kind of threw that in there, and the world looked at Michael like, wow, what is that step? Right after Motown 25, I got a chance to work with Mr. Jackson because I was featured with Lionel Richie when Lionel Richie did the video All Night Long, and then I went on to tour with them. Mm-hmm. By the end of the tour, Lionel was like, Michael, you need to meet this guy and get with him. And Michael Jackson was like, boy, this is going to take a long time. This is really wonderful. I had more than just a step. I had a whole style. So it took a long time. And now when you see Michael solo dance, that's what my greatest contribution was to him, teaching him the art of solo urban dance.
I'm speaking with Michael Boogaloo, Shrimp Chambers.
Yeah, not Michael Jackson.
No, not Michael Jackson, although you do a very good Michael
Jackson.
Well,
of course, if you're around the guy, you would know.
You mentioned the robot thing.
Of course.
You've done a lot of you've played robots.
The first robot I've ever played was being the Steve Urkel robot on Family Matters. Do you remember, did I do that? The producer said, you know what? The movie on the big screen was The Terminator. At the time, it was very good at box office numbers. Arnold, that is. And everybody was looking at the Terminator film like, wow, right? So the producers started to formulate a concept to try to bring it to the small screen. And they came up to me and they said, you know, it would be an interesting concept, a Terminator version of Steve Urkel, which gave the birth to Urkelbot. So I played that robot, which is now in reruns and in syndication. Those people contacted the producers from the film Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Mm-hmm. With Keanu Reeves. Whoa, most excellent, dude. So when they figured out that I did the robot Steve Urkel, they said, well, come on board. I'm like, well, I'm like totally stoked. So I'm like, all right, I'm just totally there.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. Right. You started, like so many breakdancers, performing on the street. Were you making any decent money?
Well, I didn't do it for the money. I liked the attention.
So you didn't put out a hat and ask people to
pay? You know what? Some people gave donations because they felt sorry for me. They're like, you know what?
I thought you were going to break your head or
you know
back.
What? This kid is like putting out so much energy just to get him a Happy Meal or something. Get him a burger, McDonald's burger. But yeah, for me, somebody told me, and it changed my life. They said, you know what? You really should be doing something professional. And I was like, what is that? I think I was just insecure, just green. And sure enough, the only way that I started really feeling I could earn a living was joining dance contests like this competition, the B-Boy Royal. There's going to be cash prizes. A cash prize for this B-Boy Royale, which I'm promoting. The tickets are $25, but there's a prize, the battling, for $5,000. That's not cheap money.
So you started competing. Is that how you wound up in the movie Breakin'?
Exactly.
They saw you?
In competitions, my name was like a title fighter. Who's the next guy coming out? Who's the underdog? And they kept saying they wanted the best of the best. The director and the producer said, you know what? We put the word out on the street. We wanted to find the best of the best for our film. At the time, New York and Harry Belafonte was doing Beat Street. But But Canon Films, Menachem Golan, and Yoram Globus from Israel, that is, yes. They said they want the best, the biggest. So they said, who's this shrimp? I was Shrimp the Shmulek back then because I was just dancing on the street. Shrimp the Shmulek, go find this Shmulek, right? So I was just schmoozing around dancing, and sure enough, they said not only can he dance, he has the right attitude, but he can carry a few scenes, and that gave birth to me doing
being
this
an
film.
Actor as well.
Yes.
Part of the plot was about how dancers from other genres didn't respect your dancing and what your group represented. Did you go through that in real life?
Yes. And with any profession, you're not really good if you're not hated on, meaning people hate you because you're good. And it just goes, it's just a life circle. So a lot of that rhetoric and mumble jumble just came with the territory because I went from the streets to the stage.
What gave you the idea to do that broom scene?
Well, for one, I had a clean house and a clean street. But no, I had to be serious. I used to watch reruns of Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire, and Gene Kelly. I mean, come on. Those Hollywood musicals were like the best.
The Nicholas Brothers. Have you ever seen the Nicholas Brothers?
The Nicholas Brothers, if people watched what they did, they were more gymnasts and they did a lot of very physical things. Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly used props and they used really big things. When I seen Royal Wedding and I seen Gene Kelly, I was fortunate enough not only to get the part of Turbo in Breaking, but there's a person in there that doesn't give enough credit, and I have to, for the record, say this. The original musical, West Side Story, had one guy, Hyman Rogers. Hyman Rogers is on the credit for staging that scene with the broom, because one day I was just balancing a broom during rehearsals on my finger while I was moonwalking, and they said, you know what, this kid is on something. This is turning into something that's a homage to Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly, and we started discussing it. The second film, they have me doing the
Breaking Royal, 2.
Breaking 2, you see me go from doing the broom number in Breaking 1 to giving homage to Fred Astaire again from Royal Wedding. When Fred Astaire did Royal Wedding and he went up the ceiling, I in turn recreated the same scene in layman's time in the 80s by doing the room number with this. So it goes back to
dancing on the ceiling. In fact, Lionel Richie wrote a song in honor of that experience.
I was so honored. Lionel Richie, when I worked for that great man for 9 months, and we did Radio City Music Hall, by the way. The thing is, Lionel and Michael Jackson, they were just focused on their music and not really so much on their image. If you look at early Lionel Richie, Lionel was just like, he never danced. He just wrote great music. Michael was like, I'm a lover, not a fighter. And the thing is, you know, he was really just, no, you know, even in the song, The Girl Is Mine, yeah, I know, you know, Paul McCartney, Michael, I'm a lover, never. He was very just kind of like a soft. When he came into the world of popping, which is real urban and real grit and stew, he's like, yeah. He got an attitude, and it was really interesting to see my influence on both of them. Michael ended up getting into the metal and into the new wave thing. Look at Judas Priest, Metallica, the new wave people. We wore spike bracelets, everything, the whole no-hole consciousness. Michael was wearing, like, his bow tie and his vest, and it was just, he's a lover, not a fighter. But when we did our stuff, if you look at him in Bad, now he had his metal. Now he was like the metal guy. He was fully like, he's mad!
Now, you also were in music videos, not just for Lionel Richie, Chaka Khan. And of course, Michael dominated MTV for years.
He should
pretty
be.
Much integrated it. Do you miss the fact, are you sad that we don't see that sort of thing much anymore?
You know what? I miss the misdirected credit. Too many artists and too many people are looking at the negative things that happened to the artists that we lost as opposed to their artistry. Michael Jackson, if you take away everything on the rhetoric that's in the tabloids, was a great songwriter and a great performer. Prince, it was a wonderful musician and a great performer. So, and Lionel Richie. So what I miss is the due credit to some of these great artists that we still have living, as well as the legacy that are of people that are not here. That's what I miss.
I heard that there are talks for a third movie in the Breaking series. Is that possible?
The first thing that I heard was that theme song from Laverne and Shirley. Schlemazel. House's in it. We're going to, I mean, it was just, God bless Gary Marshall. I had to throw it out there because they're talking and talking and talking. And you know what? I'm going to stay neutral on that comment. Plead the fifth. Because I don't know how it's going to go. And that remains to be stayed too.
You've also done a lot of choreographing. You choreographed MC Scat Cat in Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract video and Bart Simpson in Dude the Bart Man.
Which goes back to choreographing a
cartoon character.
But
that's
that
weird.
Didn't just happen. Goes back to Mr. Jackson. After doing Paula Abdul's video, before I got the audition, I told my agent, I says, I don't want to dance in video. I don't want to just dance in video. I want to do something historical. If you look at that video, that was the first time I ever danced with my techniques next to a green screen. So Michael Jackson wrote the song for Do the Bartman, and now we have Everybody If You Can Do the Bartman.
Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers will be honored for a Lifetime Achievement Award on the 27th at the McDonald's B-Boy Royale. A breakdown dancing celebration at NYU Skirball Center for the Performing Arts. That's at 566 LaGuardia Place. Thank you so much for being on the show.
McDonald's, B-Boy Royale, Min, Jin, Rio, the whole staff.
And we're dancing on the ceiling.